So we've begun this week to work on a new Malacha Daraisa, and that is the Malacha Daraisa of Lush, which the primary address of which, as we've begun to see, within Mesechta Shabbos is in two places. In addition to, there is a Gemara in Zvachim, and there is a Gemara in Beitza. Within Mesechta Shabbos, as we've been seeing, there are two addresses, one in the first parak. Interestingly, one of the last parak of the Gemara, the Mishnah, Yudzayim Beis, the Gemara Yudches Amar Aleph, and then the Mishnah Kuf Nun Hei Amar Beis, and the Gemara on Kuf Nun Hei Amar Beis, and Kuf Nun Vav Amar Aleph. And it's interesting that the Mishnah seem to say different things about one key point. So what I'd love to do is sort of just talk for a moment about the Mishnah's. And then this is a sugya that's going to take us several weeks. So I'd like to do it today, really just sort of lay out some of the issues to keep your eyes on, and hopefully to organize things, at least preliminarily, so we're ready to move forward. It's worth considering what appears about Lush in the Mishnayos, or what the Amoraim see about Lush in the Mishnayos. Astamish in the first parak and Astamish in the second parak, they seem to say opposite things. So once you jump into the sugya, it's important to look back. Essentially, you just have to. In each mishnah, the statement about Lush comes within the context of a larger issue. In each mishnah, the mishnah in the first parak and the mishnah in the last parak, Yudzayim Beis and Kufnei Beis, both have a long series of dinim. Interestingly, just sort of keeping your eyes on how the Tanaim organized Hilchos Shabbos, and that becomes the, you know, sort of sets up templates for how later poskim would organize Hilchos Shabbos. So it's interesting that the cluster of cases in the Mishnah, the first parak, is organized conceptually. They have a conceptual Sada Shabbat. And the cluster of cases in the Mishnah, the last parak, is organized around a practical topic. The Mishnah, the first parak, is talking about the fundamental machlokas b'sham b'sil about shvisas kelim. The Torah tells us that not only am I not allowed to do malacha, but I also have to make sure that my animals don't do malacha, at least don't do malacha for me. They can do malacha for themselves. The animals are allowed to graze on Shabbos, and that's malachas kotzer, but I cannot have the animals do malacha for me. That's a din of shvisas behema. And this Mishnah, Yudzayim Beis Yudches Amar Aleph, presents numerous cases where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue over whether there's a din of Shvisas Kalim. Can I set up a situation where my property, my inanimate property, not my live animal, my inanimate property is going to be doing melacha for me? We're going to come back in Ritz Shem Tadaf Yud Ches to this Mishnah, to this Sugya, Bili Neder in the, when we get back to Melechas Bishol. Because that's going to, Melechas, leaving things to cook will be a sort of a unique type of subset of this machlokris, where even perhaps Beis Hillel will agree that sometimes it's problematic to leave things to cook over Shabbos. We'll get back to Emirat Hashem when we get to Melechas Bishol. But for now, a long list of scenarios where you set up your equipment to do Melecha over Shabbos. And the first case is soaking. Can I soak ink? Can I soak ink solids or other dye solids in water? And over the course of Shabbos, it's going to soak. So Bisham may say, no, that involves the malacha, even though your act happens before Shabbos, but malacha is being done, your property is doing malacha on Shabbos, Shri Siskeim. And Basil say, exactly, your property is doing malacha over Shabbos, Shri Siskeim was mutter. Then the last parak, that Mishnah is not organized around a conceptual principle, but instead around a practical topic, which is how to feed your animals on Shabbos. The Gemara points out that, and the Mishnah itself already indicates that sometimes you're not allowed to feed your animals at all, and if they're animals that are not mezonosan alecha, they don't rely on you for food, so they have to fend for themselves on Shabbos. That's an issur d'rabbanan to feed wildlife on Shabbos. But if they do depend on you for food, so then in principle you're allowed to feed them, but you have to make sure to avoid malacha. So the Mishnah has a whole series of different issues that can come up, one of which is nos nemaim lemursan avalo govun. You're allowed to mix the bran, I believe that's what mursan is, with water. You're allowed to pour water into the mursan, but you cannot be migabel. You can't more actively mix it. So the first Mishnah tells me, but the contexts are different, but it's important, of course, not just to think about the larger context, but specifically what the Mishnah is telling me. The first Mishnah tells me that cannot leave the dio to soak in water. And the second Mishnah, Kufnun Hei, tells me that I can pour water on Shabbos into the Mursan. It can't be actually Megabel, but I could pour water in. So that sparks... That sparks the each Mishnah sparks a conversation about the first major issue is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi versus Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, whether one violates Lush merely by pouring water in, or that's not enough. In order to violate Lush, you actually have to actually do Gibel. You have to actually and so the Machlokas is quoted. There's an explicit Machlokas in a Braisa or two. That the Gemara quotes in both places, and this machlokas hatanaim is also a machlokas rishonim hadapaskan. It's something you want to keep your eyes on, and that's going to complicate things. Different rishonim making different assumptions about whom we paskin like. Rov rishonim. Rov rishonim assume like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. The Rif already says that. But Rabbeinu Baruch, there was a mir rishonim. Who assume that that we should pass them like Yehuda Hanasi, that Nesinas Mayim itself is already a Malacha Daraisa. Why that should be the Psak one way or the other, you're going to keep your eyes on, but obviously one of the unique, usually we say Alacha Kribbi Mechaveiro, usually Yehuda Hanasi is in a Machlokas, particularly against a single peer of his, we possibly be Anasi. One of the confounding factors here is that you have a pair of Stami Mishnayos. That's why I started that way. It's not, each sugya sort of only deals with its Mishnah. But if you take a step back, the way Lush appears in Mishnayos is you have a Stami Mishnah in the first paragraph that says that it's a malacha to soak these items in water, and you have a Stami Mishnah in the last paragraph that says it is not a malacha. As a matter of fact, it's not even usher at all, at least in the context of Tarna Golem. Go ahead and pour the water into the mursan. So that's mamish. Two stam mishnayos. We have rules. We have rules for stam ve'achakach machlokas, machlokas ve'achakach stam. We have rules for what do you do if you have two mishnayos? One presents only one shita, one presents both shitas. So that depends. Depends what the order is. But here it's two stam mishnayos. That's really in the same mesechta. So does that mean that you're going to follow the second mishnah? In which case you would, because the rule by Stam Vachach, Machlokas Vachach Stam, is that the second Mishnah is really the controlling one. If you have Machlokas Vachach Stam, so you pass like the Stam. But if you have Stam Vachach Machlokas, then the subsequent Machlokas, or the earlier Mishnah in the Masechta had a Stam, like one, but the later Mishnah in the Masechta has a Machlokas, so that may indicate a rethinking that sort of neutralizes the power of the stam. So here you have two stam mishnayos. So maybe you say also. I mean, does that mean that the second stam controls? So that would indicate that we should paskin like Rosh Yehuda. Plus, in general, another way of looking at it is you have two stam mishnayos. So we're really going to ignore the stam mishnayos. And then you have when they're in the absence of specific rules of Tzak, like Stam Mishnah or Remeir Biosi Pasnik Biosi. So what the Rishonim often talk about is Sugya Deshmaita, seeing how are the Amoraim dealing with it, who are the Amoraim paying most of their attention to, and do the Amoraim sound like they're giving sane memories, or even more so giving Piske Halacha Ali B'Dechad Mandamar? So that's very significant. So that's again one machlokas tanoim, and then a machlokas hadapaskin. Um, And one another confounding factor to keep in mind in this issue and future issues also is Iran points out that in the Sugya Kuf Nun Hey, there's Machlokas, Balmar, and Mulchamas, in the Mar Mulchamas, that revolves at least in part on how to read the Gemara Kuf Nun Vav Amin Aleph. The Gemara Kuf Nun Vav Amin Aleph has these different cases, and it talks about be Mishana here, be Mishana there, and this is Mutter Al Deshin, that's Mutter Al Deshin. You have to sort of figure out how all those cases relate to each other. Are all the same, or are they different? How many different different types of things do you subdivide into? So that's going to affect, because the Gemara there also seems to be talking about Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi and Rabbi Yehuda, so that's going to impact, that may impact how you pass. And then there's a question, the second question, of course, is a question of Lav Bar Gibel. We know that Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Hanasi are in dispute over whether Nesinas Mayim alone is already Chayiv, or do you say, no, because Yehuda is Mekel, you're only Chayiv when you actually do Gibel. But the question is, the question that Gemara raises in both places is maybe Yosef Yehuda's shita is limited to where Gibel really matters, to an item that's really about Gibel. You have flour and you have water. You mix them together, your mom is going to get, it's really going to come together. Or you're making cement, you have dirt and you have water, you mix them together. It really lends itself to Gibel. So then clearly, by Bar Gibel, clearly Yosef Yehuda holds that Gibel is necessary in order to violate Malacha Daraisa, and there's no Malacha Daraisa without Gibel. But the question is, how about by Lav Bar Gibel? So here's where it gets a little bit dicey. The Gemara in Yud Ches is used by Princess Machlokas, or at least as a shock of a tarya between the Amoraim, whether Yosef Yehuda is Mekel even by Lav Bar Gibel or not. Now the Gemara Kuf Nun Hey with Beis raises the question and comes to a Maskana. Gemara Kuf Nun Hey with Beis says we have a Farish Abraisa, that even by the Mursan, which apparently is a Lav Bar Gibel, the Gemara says, even by the Mursan, it's in the Brice, it's a Beferish Machlokas, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda. So that would seem, so here's the second question, is how do we paskin on this issue? If you're going to paskin, as most Rishonim do, like Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, then Nesinas Mayim is not a Chiyav Daraisa. So is that even the case when you're dealing with a Lav Bar Gibel? So the maskana of the Kuf Nun Hey Amud Beis is yes, open and shut case. The Gemara raises the question. The Gemara says, "Yeah, we have a brisa. The brisa says that explicit machlokas Rosi Yehuda versus Yehuda Nasi about the Mursan." Now the Gemara on Yud Ches Amud Aleph leaves it open, but didn't say teku. Rav Yosef and Abai having a back and forth about Afer and Afer. And it's not, it's left open to the possibility that maybe Rabbi Yosef Yehuda distinguishes. So one approach is, okay, so the Gemara had an inconclusive shock of Vitaria on Yud Ches Amud Aleph, and Kuf Nun Hey Beis, we have often a Braisa, so that's the end of the discussion. However, Tosfos, Yud Ches Amud Aleph, that toast is a fascinating toast. He pulls together all the different Gemaras that talk about, and one after another. He reaches out, how does this Gemara relate to Chav Gimel? How does this Gemara relate to Kuf Nun Hey? How does this Gemara relate to Maseches Beitza? So Tosfos thinks that maybe Bar Gibel is not a binary variable. Maybe it's more than just you are a Bar Gibel or you're not a Bar Gibel. Maybe there's a whole spectrum of how much of a Bar Gibel you are. So the Mursan is maybe not a full Bar Gibel, but enough of Bar Gibel that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda would argue even there. But over here we're dealing with Afer. You mix bran into water, there'll be at least some degree of viscosity. You're mixing ash into water, you're really not going to get a lot of thickness. So that's what Tosfos begins to say, especially based on that brings him then to Maseches Beitza also. So the second issue in Amoraim and Machlokas Hadapaskin there as well is if you assume the Gersu of Yehuda, Sa'abad Lav Bar Gibel, and again with the confounding factor in the second issue of Tosfos, that there may be many points along the spectrum. So maybe you have to figure out how many different types of, how many different levels there are of Gibelkite, and what the psak would be. At what point would Rabbi Yosef Yehuda draw the line and say, Adkan, I care about, you know, Adkan, I care about Gibel, and without Gibel there's no Chiyuv. But at this point, beyond that point, it's so non-viscous that the Gibel is irrelevant. At this point, maybe Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Moda, the Nesinas Mayim is rare enough to be Mechayim. And then, of course, the third issue is the Gemara here somewhat mysteriously on Kufnun after, so they have like sort of sugyas back to back in the last parak. You have Kufnun Yom Beis, the Gemara discusses the Mishnah, and again that seems to come to clear Maskana, and then the Gemara starts talking again with the Tana Rabbanan. Now you have a new brice that gets, the Tana Rabbanan of course introduces a brice that's going to begin a new Shach Vataria with the Kali, and then already the Gemara is off to the races, and the Gemara then raises a third issue, which is Blila Ava and Blila Raka, which is dough and batter. Here the Gemara sort of just throws it in for a moment. Elsewhere, in the sugis of Lechem, Brachas and Psachim, Blila Ava, Blila Raka has much more impact in Gemara and in Rishonim. It gets much more focus, I should say, in Gemara and in Rishonim, in terms of how you define what Lechem is. Definition of Lechem is relevant for Matzah, definition of Lechem is relevant for even more so for Farshas Chala and for Brachos. That's a big Machlokas HaRishonim, Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbi Chaim Cohen and Ramban, not so much our topic right now, in terms of how you define bread, both in terms of is it possible to kiss and say if you're Kovei Asud you're going to have to wash and bench, or is it not bread at all, and in terms of Farshas Chala, are you Mafresh Chala on... Are you mafresh challah on donuts? Are you mafresh challah on cake? So most cake is a baked batter. That's what most cakes are. So there's a few spongier cakes. So that's a blila raka, but it had afia. Then how about if you have the reverse? I have a boiled dough. So that's a big, multi sheets of machlokas harishonim, how you define lechem and blila. Part of the issue is to what extent does Blila Ava versus Blila Raka play a role. So again, I raise that largely for you to be aware that Blila Ava, Blila Raka is part of a much larger conversation. And also because the way the Rishonim deal with Blila Ava, Blila Raka and the Hagdar of Lechem seems to have, at least some of the Rishonim talk there about essentially, is it the lisha which defines something as bread? Is it the afia which defines something as bread, or is it either or? So it sounds in that context a lot like blila ava. That's real lisha. Blila raka is not. I can bake. I have the batter. If I bake it, so maybe the afia makes it into bread. The Ramban is of the opinion, if I remember correctly, that once it's Blila Raka, it will never ever be Lechem. And that means that even if you eat an entire chocolate cake, you will have a bellyache, but you will not have a Chiyuv Birkas HaMaz. You will have a Chiyuv, Ala Mechiyuv, maybe you say it's Azuki Maz, you shouldn't make any Bracha. If you can make a Bracha, because the Ramban is not going to be a Hamotzi, and you wouldn't be Mafresh Chal, even if you're making... You're working a bakery and you're making a massive amount. Usually cakes, batter cakes, don't require fresh challah anyways, because the amount of flour in a batter is minimal. That's part of why it's so liquidy. That's why it's a batter and not a dough. There's a certain minimum shear of flour content that you need in order to make fresh challah. But let's say you work in a bakery and you're producing massive amounts of batter at a time. Ramban is of the opinion, Ramban does not make it to page Shulchan Aruch, if I remember correctly, in Hilchas Chala later in Yerodea, but the Ramban is of the opinion that if it's a batter, it's never lechem. So that may have interesting implications when you come back here, where the Gemara is differentiating at least somewhat between Belila Ava and Belila Raka. The Gemara says that in the in the context of the first case in Kuf Nun Vav Amud Aleph about the shasis, you know, differentiate between Ava and Raka. The question is, then the Gemara talks about some other cases, that the whole story with Levi, the whole family tree. Levi is under Yehuna Bar Chia. Apparently, Yehuna Bar Chia had married the daughter of Yehuna Bar Abba, as you find out as you put the Gemara together. If Yehuna Bar Chia is the son of Rabbi Chia, and not just of some other Mr. Chia, so that means Rabbi Chia and Yehuna Bar Abba were Mechutanim, in addition to both being Tamidim, in addition to, in addition to having a learning relationship. And there are other family relationships also. Rav Rav is the Talmud of Rav, and the Gemara tells us elsewhere that Rav Chia and Rav were multiply related. It's an interesting family tree. But believing that aside, the question is that second case, is that also Blila Rak or is that Blila Ava? That's sort of the third major dimension you're going to look at here is Ava and Ava and Raka. And so those are the three major issues and some of the factors that Rishonim are raising in terms of the Psak Halacha for each. And then just let me share. Two or three stubs of ideas in trying to work. Part of what you're doing, this sugya is, as we're beginning to see, very, very cheshmedik. There's so many different cases and there's so many different variables in each case. So you actually, it's going to be very helpful to chart things out. I did make copies here, feel free to take on the way out, of the, in David Lichtenstein's Mishnah Brewer, I think I mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, is the Mishnah Achrona. So he has a remarkable chart, and he has Hagdama Talisha before he gets, you know, as he opens these Seif from Dendishin Chafalf, deal with Lisha. So he gives a little bit of Hagdama, and then he charts it out a very, very aesthetically attractive chart and a very well-organized chart. You'll see as you work through the sugi if you agree with everything in the chart or you have haris on the chart, but at least it's a good starting point. Feel free to take a copy on the way out. But the sugi is a unique blend. I'll try to avoid any bad puns, but it is a unique blend of cheshbon and lamdas. As you first... Step one is just cheshbon and everything out. There's so many cases and different. We showed them put together the pieces in different ways. How you put together Yud Ches and Kuf Nun Vav. How you put together different cases in Kuf Nun Vav. How does Maseches Beitza fit in? There's a lot of cheshbon. So I tried to sort of lay out at first. Just sort. Here are some of the factors and some of the variables and some of the confounding factors to these basic variables. Again, in Rebbe Yehuda. And then the question about Rios Rav Yehuda by a Lav Bar Gibel, whatever that means, a Lav Bar Gibel, or different degrees of Lav Bar Gibel. And then the question of Ava and Raka and how that fits in. Most Rishonim, the dominant view seems to be that the Belila Raka is only Lisha Jerabanan. And that's perhaps why we're willing to make a Chazal or make a Aide Shinoi. The whole thing is Jerabanan to begin with. And a trade Jerabanan, not every Jerabanan is automatically Mutra just because there's a Shinoi, but there'll be cases where Chazal will say we're not imposing the Isser for Tzalei Deshina. But then once you've cheshbon everything through, then you want to figure out, once you have the what, then you want to figure out the why. What would drive a Tana to say that Nesinas Mayim is or isn't Lisha? It sounds like a pretty fundamental definitional question of how you're Magdir Lisha, Lechora. And that may also shed light on whether you think Rabbi Yosef Yehuda's shita is limited to Bar Gibel, and also is probably going to impact, is going to tell you something about how is Rabbi Yosef Yehuda defining Lisha. As if you say that's only when it's a Bar Gibel, so it sounds like it's more a question of just going to the last step. And the Sinas Mayim is not the Gemara Malacha, there's more to come. If there's no Gibel, then it sees my Mizagar Malachi Rizuda is Maskin. If you say that Rizuda is Maskin, that it sees my Mizchai by Lav Bar Gibel, so obviously it means, practically speaking, the Machlokas is smaller, and fundamentally also, they are perhaps a lot closer. You have to Cheshbon at the Lundus. And then also, thinking of that about the Blila Ava and the Blila Raka. So just... A few stubs of ideas to begin to think about, and hopefully you'll see whether these or other ideas are helpful. As once you've put together the shitas of the sugya, if you do the biur hashitas, you want to do the biur with an aleph of the shitas. So the one issue that you'll find the Rishonim in Kufnun Vav, the Primosha, is a Talmud Chacham Bnei Brak, right? It's very, very freilich, lumdish asfar. So he has a few volumes, and I think most of what he wrote is Nash Mezikin, but he has one volume on Lech HaShabbos. So here he tells, oh, you're looking at Rishonim in Kufnun Hei, Kufnun Vav, particularly in Ritzvah, the Tosus Rid. So they point out, and you may find this elsewhere also, it's worth considering as you try to figure out the why. It's worth thinking about what's the original Lisha? What is the original Lisha? Is the original Lisha Shriya? After all, the original Lisha was Samamanim, the Chora. That's what the Ritva and the Tosu Rit say. Well, it all goes back to the Shriya Samamanim. So it becomes hard to say, you know. Once you think like that, then you really will wonder, so how does Rabbi Yosef Yehuda say that Sharia alone is not the Malacha? That is the original Malacha. Certainly, if you're going to say that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda holds that Sharia alone is not Chayiv, even by Lav Bar Gibel, there's no exceptions. You have to figure out how that works. So you have to figure out that works. You want to look at those, you want to figure out how that works. And I would add, the promotion does not raise this, but I would add also, this becomes a very fascinating and perhaps practical application of the opening issue of Egle Tal. I think I mentioned the first Chabura, that in terms of the idea of Dumi the Mishkan, Egle Tal points out at the very beginning in the Psicha that there appears to there may be a Machlokas Bavli Yerushalmi, what part of the Mishkan are we looking to for models? The Bavli in Klagadov talks about, sounds like it's specifically the making of the Mishkan, because the Bavli in Kol Gadol is very bothered by Ofer. Right after the Gemara of Tochen is the Gemara of Lush and Ofer. The Gemara doesn't talk about Lush, it jumps right into Ofer. Amar Papa, Shavak Tadidam Bishus Amam, Dava Mishkan, Menachat Ofer. He says, I don't understand. In Mishkan, it was cooking the dyes. Why does the Mishnah say Ofer rather than Vasha? So our Papa says, Sidur the Pas is a useful way to organize the Mishnah. So the Eglei Tal points out, clearly the Bavli is not, the easy answer is, what do you mean? They bake lechem upon him, they bake karbonos mincha, some of the karbonos mincha had afia, elamai. Obviously, for the Bavli, doing the Mishkan means davka dumi da siyas ha Mishkan. But the Eglei Tal points out there are indications the Yerushalmi might hold, the Samar Ron, the Yerushalmi hold, that even it's not only Dumiyah Da'asiyah Samishkin, even Dumiyah De Hishtamshos Samishkin, Avodah Samishkin. So for instance, Shochet, maybe Shochet is based on Shechting Karbanas, not just Shechting the animals in order to get their skins that become part of the Mishkan. So here's where things get. So that's an interesting sort of in the loop. It seems like a little bit in the loop. Like, interesting question, but it seems very, very theoretical. Dumi the Mishkan, does it have to do with Dumi the Asiyas of Mishkan, Dumi the Lechas of Mishkan, Dumi the Avosh of Mishkan, Lamayinav Kamina? Either way, it's a question of how uncomfortable are we with the fact that the language the Mishnah uses is Ofer, as opposed to Bishl. Lamayinav Kamina? Here's an interesting Nav Kamina. Because this issue of the Shriya Samimanim, that's a relevant issue if the Makar for Lush is Shriya Samimanim. If the Makar for Lush is Lishas Lechem Hapanim, so that's a Blila Ava, and that's a Bar Gibel, and it's totally different. And there was a real Gibel going on. So then everything changes. So that actually may be a very fascinating application of this theoretical machlokas that Egle Tal is about the Yerushalmi. So one thing to think about is a Shriya Salmanim, and to think about Shriya Salmanim is aligned with the Bavli versus the Lisha of dough that was that the Yerushalmi might raise. Plus, there are perhaps some indications that maybe there was a paste made with the Salmanim. Another thing to think about Egle Tal, two points Egle Tal raises. in addition to that Ritva and Tosis Rit about the Shriya Salmanim, two of the points Egetal raises, Egetal as always is very rich. I put him at the bottom of the Kamus. If you have time, if you see the sugya, so you could wrap things out. You see the sugya, you see the Torah Shochar, and the bottom line, literally, of the Maamu Kamus, I'd point out, if you want, you could look at the Shmir Shabbos Hilchus, has an entire parak on Lush. And he puts everything together, halach halmais, with a lot of practical applications. The Egetal is Kedarko, beautiful, not short, not incredibly long on Lush, not remarkably short either. Two of the musagim that he raises is not one. He raises a question of thinking about maybe there should be a differentiation. Tosa raised started talking about maybe we should differentiate between different cases. You know, how much of a bar gibel? Egetal says maybe we should differentiate between different cases based on what it is that you're trying to produce. And here we come back to the product orientation, the tosar orientation malachas. Egetal says maybe there will be different rules based on whether you're trying to create a food or trying to create a drink. If you're trying to create a drink, the gibel is less important. Maybe you're trying to create a drink, lila raka should be more significant. But if you're trying to create a food, so then maybe gibel does play more of a role, and then lila ava is going to be more central. And then another concept that the Egetal raises is trying to think about what's the core Hagdara of the Malacha. So the Hagdara of, we're going from Tochen to Lush, in a certain sense they're almost opposites. The Tochen, you're taking a single item and you're breaking it down to smaller particles. In Lush, you're taking smaller particles and you're using liquid to combine them into a single entity. So the Egetal wants to know is, and this could affect, again, a lot of these questions about Blula Raka and about Gibel versus Nesinas Mayim, is which Chibur, clearly the Malacha of Tochen is breaking down the Chibur. You remember that the Chazon Ish had said, "Ein Tochen Acha Tochen," is what type of Chibur are you breaking? Only a natural Chibur. Here, obviously, it's a Malacha of creating a synthetic Chibur between what and what? Is it a Chibur between the particles? You're using, do we see the liquid as just a vehicle to be mechaber the solid particles into a single unit? Or is it the chibur between the solids and the liquid itself? So Egetal wants to think about. Which chibur is it? And again, that this shed new light on all of these issues. Is the liquid a chetimtza? Or is the liquid a part of the chefta shamlacha? The chefta malacha is the solid pieces. I'm using the liquid. The liquid is my tool to get the solid pieces together. Or no, it's being mechaber the liquid with the solid. Now, if you took that last idea to an extreme, you might even end up ossering. You might even end up ossering instant coffee and chocolate milk. I'm being mechaber the powder with the liquid. I made a mixture. Really, anytime you make a suspension, that's going to be also that the poskim say you'll see in Shmir Shabbos Lachasa, based on earlier poskim, that assumption if it's mamish liquid, if it's fully liquid with zero viscosity, so then we assume that that's not lush whatsoever. Just because you mixed a powder, you suspended a, you mixed a powder into liquid, even in the scientific sense of a mixture, that's not lush. Why is a good question? I am being mechaber the liquid with the solid pieces, but halacha we assume that there has to be some degree of thickness. And the question is, how much thickness do you need to be violating isur drabanan? How much thickness do you need to violate isur daraisus? Again, this chabur was meant as advertised to be opening ha'aris to help our knesa into the sugya. Our feet wet with the gemaras. Hopefully these he'aris will help to structure, number one, the work of putting together the cheshbon of all the different shittas in an organized, coherent way. I should mention that there is also a shita of the Rambam you're going to come across. A further twist in terms of Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda's relationship to Gibel. Excuse me. Rabbi Yehuda Anasi's relationship, I believe it is, to Gibel. Yehuda Anasi's relationship to Gibel, so that's an interesting question. In other words, let's say you did Nesinas Maim on Erev Shabbos, and then you're going to do the Gibel on Shabbos. So Rabbi Yehuda Anasi asks both. Is he Mechayv on both? Is Mechayv Yudafka on Nesinas Maim? So that will sometimes come up practically, and that too is going to be a Machlokes Rishonim. So hopefully this will help in terms of the work of Cheshbon, and then give us some food for thought in terms of the work of the working out the Bira Dvar in terms of the Lamedus. There are really three. We work out the Cheshbon and the Lamedus, and then the Halach Lamaisa. Figure out Lamaisa how all this shakes out. Halach Lamaisa. There are many practical cases. If you want, even before you're done with the sugi, if you want to just get your, it might not be a bad idea even just look at to skim the Shemir Shabbos Kol Chasa, unless you find, some people find this confusing, but some might find it exhilarating, just to get a sense of what the cases are, lemaisa, just to get a sense of like what the meduber is, and then as you're cheshbonning cases, you'll begin to think about, and you begin to think about the various cases and the various machloks among the Rishonim in practical terms. Again, some people may find that confusing because he already said that's butcher, aser, okay. If you could be, or some people find it very hard to learn to skim. But if you can skim without being ma'ayin, and just at least to get a sense of what the cases are, so you may find that helpful in terms of the cheshbon, in terms of the lamdus, in terms of halacha maisa. Please help yourself to one of these charts. I'm glad to stick around for questions.